This is the Todd and Friends Podcast.
I don't like to waffle on predictions. That doesn't mean I always hope I'm right.
Oh, what's he going to do? Oh, come on.
I'm with you.
So, thank you.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Todd, I knew we'd agree on something here.
From the KWLM Sports Studio.
I'm Todd Brigette. Thanks for joining us for the podcast once again today. It is brought to you by Granite Bank in Spicer and Cold Spring, Equal Housing Lender, member FDIC. And Greg Snow joining us. He was good enough to stop by this morning during the 8 o'clock Gab Fest with myself and JP. And that was kind of fun because Greg took the accurate but unpopular position of he thought Jamal Murray would not get suspended by the NBA. I thought he would. I didn't know how he could get away with such things, throwing stuff on the floor. You, of course, were correct. We know that he did not get suspended. Suhan agreed with you, Jim Suhan, that he thought should have, but not surprised that he wasn't. I guess I don't know why I'm surprised he wasn't suspended, but I guess it kind of was.
Todd, I unfortunately look at the NBA through a different lens. I look at it from a higher perspective than a lot of the fandom. I'm not saying right or wrong, but I see the business model.
Yeah.
And the business model, it doesn't make sense for you to to send your star player to the bench. Should they have gone $125,000 to make it different than Rudy? Because you made allusion to this earlier.
Oh, yeah.
Or reference to it, and you're right. I mean, it's for the same price, really.
Yeah, yeah.
But again, I would say, well, try it again. Let's see what happens next time. Because guess what? It might be bigger.
Yeah.
It might be. And I just tweeted this out to somebody. You can choose your sin. Yeah. You can't choose your consequences.
Yeah, that's right.
They are what they are, and there's no consistency. There's no rhyme or reason. So bottom line is what we tell our children. Don't do dumb stuff. Because, somebody else might get a slap on the wrist, and you might get a four-day suspension from school.
Right.
I mean, I'm sorry. It's just the world that we live in. And Mike Zimmer, I wanted to say this earlier, Todd. Mike Zimmer had a great quote that I think people would be mad about, but I endured myself to him. This was early in his tenure. He says, I don't care about consistency. I care about getting it right.
Yes. That's true.
How interesting is that?
Yeah, novel concept. They didn't get this right, though, right? Well, I mean, the NBA didn't get it right.
A lot of people don't think they got it right. But again, if we destroy Denver with Jamal Murray out there, one guy sent back to me, he goes, I want to beat them so bad. I'm glad they didn't give Murray a night off.
Yeah.
You know, kind of like the load management of the superstars. You know, you never see any load management during the playoffs.
No, shocking.
They're actually hurt. I mean, even as much as I hate Jimmy Butler, he was actually hurt.
Yeah.
You know, even though I made reference, he quit on his team again, you know. But, you know, him and Giannis hurt and Kawhi Leonard out, that's a big deal for these teams. They all lost.
It is.
Your superstars out, you lose.
That's why you can't pick NBA playoffs too early. You have to wait until you get there.
They're big.
To see who's healthy.
Yeah.
One guy lost on an NBA team is huge, depending on who it is.
Embiid.
One guy lost on an NFL team, as long as it's not the starting QB.
Right.
Not that big a deal.
You can overcome.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting you say that because you're right. In the NBA, and people forget, last year the Wolves were a similar team except for we didn't have Nas and we didn't have Jaden in that first round, and Denver still said we were the toughest opponent they had that whole series.
Yeah.
So at the end of the day, Todd, I'm excited the fact that Jamal is playing. I'm excited that people are upset because guess what that does? It raises the energy level at that building.
Yeah.
It's going to be through the roof. I'm getting goosebumps. Look at this, Todd. I'm getting goosebumps right now. It is crazy to think about how fun Friday night is going to be for some people.
It is. I would love to be there close enough to scream at Jamal Murray.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. He is going to. I mean, the court of public opinion is not changing.
Yeah.
92% of the population out there still feel he should be suspended.
Yeah.
That the NBA messed this up.
Yeah.
Couldn't have made a worse decision. And they're going to let him know I just pray anybody going and listening, please don't chant ref you suck. Please. Yeah. The Wolves have been getting such a favorable whistle right now, and we need it.
But I don't think it's necessarily just for the Wolves. I think in general, they're letting him play more.
Yes.
So I don't see that as being in the Wolves' favor.
Well, the quieter whistle?
It helps to have a looser whistle for the Timberwolves. They're deeper, they're bigger, they're more physical. Sure, but that's not specific just to the Wolves that they're doing that,
I agree.
Yeah.
And that's why I've always said Embiid won't win. I hope that I was not happy with how the Dallas and OKC game was refereed last night.
Oh.
Shea got away with a bunch of his little bumps that he just goes floppy all over the gym. And, 18 free throws.
Yeah, shocker.
So that's the other thing that people go is, you want to know why Shea isn't as marketable as Ant? Because Ant has highlights.
Yeah.
Shea, he goes to the free throw line.
Yeah.
That's not marketable.
Ant wants to go to the free throw line.
He does. He does the carry the TV and, you know, or he does the palms up. Yeah, Jesus, what please is coming. Going on, you know, and I always yelling at the babes last night, Todd. Or 2 nights ago, I was yelling, put your arms down.
Oh, I know.
I'm tired of it. And see, Kat's done great with this lately.
He has. He's changed. He's had one technical foul this year. Kat has done way better. One technical foul all year for Karl Anthony Towns. Whereas Edwards is right near the limit. Yep. So I was looking up while I was looking at my phone. I didn't mean to look away from you for a second.
Todd, I do it all the time.
I wanted to know, why was Jerrybone Green suspended in the finals?
Oh, yeah.
Back in 2016. An accumulation of flagrant fouls in the postseason, with the final one happening against LeBron James. So it was an accumulation of fouls, not just that he threw James on the floor.
Ah.
So it's a little different situation then, isn't it, from Jamal Murray? Because I said, well, it's not unprecedented to suspend a guy during the finals. They did it to Draymond Green. I guess it's a little different, though.
And let's think about the history with Draymond. It was like a Rasheed Wallace history.
Yeah.
Jamal doesn't have that.
No, Jamal, all they say is what a good guy he's been his whole career. So what does that tell you? Well, it tells he's a front runner. That once he gets, you know, embarrassed a little bit, he just completely cratered and totally lost his cool and wasn't a good guy.
Anybody wants to have some fun today? Go back and watch some of those plays where the Wolves did a little passy, and then layup. Watch Murray and Porter Jr.'s body language. Yeah. It will scream to you.
We're done.
We can't beat these guys.
Yeah, we're done.
I've been there. Yeah. You've been there, Todd. Yeah. You're an athlete. Yeah. You know that there's just a team where you go,
it's going to be a tough one.
Ain't happening.
Yeah.
It's just the nature of sport, and basketball has that. You said it up. I don't know if you said it off air or when you said it, but it's like they're right up in – everybody's right there. You can see these things. You maybe can't see the full body language of a football player.
Yeah.
And if they take their helmet off and are on the sidelines and throwing an iPad, okay, we got that.
Yeah.
But you don't see a sunken shoulder by a lineman out there a whole lot because you can't see that through the pads. So it's a really good point that you brought up that I –
We were talking about the popularity of the players and how the NBA does such a good job of marketing their players. Yeah. And I just said, well, it's a little bit of the nature of the game. No game is more intimate than a basketball game. People sit right on the actual floor. Yeah. They sit right next to the head coach. The fans at basketball games are looking around the coach to see what's going on just a few feet away. No other game is like that.
Right.
So that also promotes the stars more in the NBA because they're just more visible. I mean, they're out there in their underwear, basically, running up and down the floor. They don't come off the field to play when they don't play defense.
That's true.
You know, they play both sides.
Hockey, 3 minute breaks.
The most time a hockey player gets in a 60-minute game, the biggest 18? Minutes, 25 minutes.
25.
The top guys, the average is around 20. Minutes per game out of 60.
I know.
You know, so they're not going to be as popular. They wear helmets. They're behind glass. It's just the nature of the beast in basketball. Why guys are more popular individually than their teams, which I think is true in the NBA, but not in other sports.
So let me take that to another level since you brought all that up and so perfectly. The next level is when you are in the stands yelling, ref, you suck, with everybody else. You put yourself right into that idiot category because there is no other sport in the four majors that holds so many plays and so many calls
in such a short amount of time.
In a short amount of time.
Yeah.
Baseball, it's 12 calls a game. There's some balls and strikes, whatever. Hockey, 3 penalties in the playoffs a game?
Yeah.
5, 6?
Yeah, yeah.
What are they, offsides? They can review that now.
Yeah.
Not a big deal.
Yeah.
I mean, all these things. And then you go to the NFL. Yeah, we get mad at the random holding, but again, nobody wants a penalty-filled game in the NFL.
Yeah.
They would love to see 3 flags at the end of the game and say, hey, we didn't notice the refs.
Yeah.
Well, guess what? Now people are ticked that Mark Davis didn't do more, and they could have done this. Yep. They sure could have.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, everybody out there, just listen to me. Just hang in there. This is awesome for the Wolves.
It is.
Don't call stuff.
Absolutely.
I'm glad they rescinded the technical on Anthony
Edwards. Oh, they did. I didn't see that.
Yeah, they rescinded it.
Okay, good.
Again, it was a nothing.
Should have been.
Yeah. I mean, Jamal did the guns right at Carl right after.
Who was the official who signaled the technical? Do you remember?
Yeah, Courtney Kirkland.
So what was the deal?
So I don't know what happened there. Courtney Kirkland also, and again, I hate to call him out on this. I'm sorry, because I love officials.
Yeah,
you know that.
I know.
Matter of fact, one of my good friends refereed the other night's game, Pat Fraher.
Oh,
does a great job. I always tell him he has the best no whistles in the game.
Yeah, yeah.
And I love no whistles.
Right.
I mean, I love
fewer whistles,
say
better.
A no call.
Fewer whistles, the better.
We tell our officials at the high school level, find a tough no call.
Yeah.
And then defend it.
Yeah.
You know, like, hey, I had nothing there. Yeah. The offense initiated all contact. I thought the defense was good. Yeah. Hey, by the way, we're wrong a lot of times, just so everybody knows. But at the end of the day, yeah, Courtney Kirkland also called that little cheapy on Carl to start the game.
Oh.
I mean, and Finchie brought it up in a press conference. He goes, I have never seen that. He goes, there was no advantage gained one way or the other. There was really no reason to call it. Yeah. Denver was getting the jump ball.
Yeah.
So, again, that goes back to the soccer mentality. But in the NBA game, it's so physical. They're so big. They're so strong. My buddy Fraher says to me, he goes, Greg, when we used to rip on him a little bit, he goes, do you understand how fast these guys are?
Yes, and how giant they are. And imagine being a 6-foot-tall man, which is an above-average-sized man, where you're 6'2 or so. You're looking up at how many of the calls. How many of the calls are happening 3-4 feet above your head as they go to the rim to try and block or dunk? You're trying to see that. These guys are all, you know, much bigger than your 6'2" official. You're a little man out there. It's just hard to do.
And the next time you want to grumble about traveling, that was also brought up to me. They are trained waist up. They're trained for push, body, all those things. They aren't trained to go down because by the time they go down and up, they miss something.
Right.
So they, yes, the NBA calls the fewest amount of travels of any league out there, college, high school, whatever, but you're seeing this in college too. Yep. Less and less travels. They don't look down.
I'm fine with that. You know,
a lot of people aren't.
I know they
aren't. Thank you, Todd, for coming with me on
this.
There's
a lot of traditionals. I've been speaking on I'm fine with the legalizing traveling, which they have done at all levels. Now, the Eurostep, that's a travel. That's traveling. They've legalized traveling. The spin move. They've legalized traveling.
Break down a spin move and you'll go.
Feet are all over the place. Ball is in the air.
You couldn't get from there to there without taking four.
Yeah,
let alone the 1.5 you're allowed.
It's a shuffle. Yeah, the pivot foot was pretty close to where it started on that spin move. I'm there. They've legalized some traveling, and I'm fine with that. Fewer whistles, better game.
Yeah, so anybody going tonight, or if you're at home yelling, just remember this. Go, this is to our advantage.
Yeah.
Again, we don't want a tight game. If we get through Denver and we have OKC, who I think is better, Dallas plays no defense.
No.
It's embarrassing, actually, Luka. I started thinking, he's not the MVP.
He just waves.
Yeah, it's just,
he's not
brutal.
The face of the league either.
And Kyrie has zero interest in playing any defense.
No.
Irving.
Yeah.
So, again, they're disqualified. So I think we're going to get to that series, and I don't like the whistle that Shea gets. So I'm Shy, whatever they want to call
it. I think it's Shea.
Yeah. So I should just call him SGA.
Yeah, well, whatever.
But I don't know if people would understand that. But I'm nervous about that, Todd. And I said that about the Lakers series. Thank goodness we didn't play them.
Yeah.
The Lakers had the least attacks to the rim and the most free throws.
Yeah.
It didn't make sense.
Yeah. Interesting. That's an interesting stat. You just dropped a little nugget on us there. So that brings us back. Like you said, I'm glad we didn't play the Lakers. That takes me back to my point of, did the Wolves intentionally lose the last regular season game? Because then they matched up with the Suns.
Maybe. Well, they knew something the rest of us didn't.
They sure did.
Because we sure weren't thrilled about a Suns matchup.
They reached into the heart of Devin Booker, Anthony Edwards, and ripped his heart right out and then chewed on it. It reminded me of From Dusk Till Dawn, the movie. When the one guy reaches into this guy's heart, he pulls it out, it's still beating, so he stabs it with a pencil, and then the guy's dropped. They ripped her heart out, stabbed it with a pencil, and that was it.
And I think most people know this by now, but if you don't, you're going to hear it here first. Anthony Edwards' favorite player is Kevin Durant.
Yeah.
So he wants to beat his idol.
Yep.
Everybody wanted to beat Michael Jordan at some point. They didn't care that he aged.
Yeah.
You know, they just needed to beat the GOAT.
That's
not
right.
That saying that Kevin wasn't, but Anthony had some personal motivation in that series, and he played like it.
Yeah, yeah. That's like when Larry Holmes put Muhammad Ali out of his misery at the end of a very long career.
I love Larry Holmes.
I know. Mike Tyson did it to Larry Holmes. Same thing. Holmes was like 38 or 39 when he fought Tyson. He was Tyson's idol. He had watched him. Tyson ended his career.
Yeah.
Just like Larry Holmes did to Muhammad Ali.
Do you feel like we might have seen the end of Kevin Durant as we know it?
I think we have.
The heart was ripped there, too.
Where has he won outside of when he joined already a great Golden State team? He's won anywhere.
And what's the future for that franchise right now?
For Phoenix, they're stuck. They're stuck. What a terrible trade for Bradley Beal. So I remember that there was conversation the Timberwolves were interested in Bradley Beal. And I was just saying, what do we need him for? Bradley Beal is just a poor man's version. He's not even a poor man's version of Anthony Edwards. He's just another guard. He's just a guy. And yet he's making $40 million a year for the next 3 years on Phoenix with the only no-trade clause in the entire NBA, belongs to Bradley Beal.
Really? I did not know that. That's crazy stat. Yeah, so. We'll get up for Friday night. I think it's 8:30
start,
Todd?
8:30 start. 8 o'clock pregame.
What happened to your Twins last night?
They stunk.
Bullpen?
But they've won 13 out of 15. So.
Bullpen, right?
Yeah, the bullpen. Alcala.
They beat up?
No. They had their
just
guys.
Just a bad night.
Just a bad night. They pitched well the night before. Jorge Alcala, who's had a lot of injury history in his career, gave up 4 runs in the 9th, and a hanging slider by one of their left-handers to a right-handed hitter that he hit for a grand slam. He almost hit it out of target field. Third deck and left, he hit one that's Cal Raleigh, mm-hmm. who, you know, and he mashes one into the third deck. So, just a bad game. You know, I was off the Twins when they were 7-13. I'm going, man, it looks like a bad Twins here. And then they go on a 12-game win streak. I still think they're just not more than just a slightly above-average team. I think before the season is over, the lack of pitching depth will rear its ugly head.
Yeah, that 10-game winning streak, or 12-game, I'm sorry, was probably a big anomaly. We can't expect that every time. But when it's like following – nobody really knows this, but when you shoot a 72 in golf, your next round out, you're like, I need to shoot a 72. And everything else is a disappointment.
It puts pressure on yourself.
It does, and it's hard to follow up a good round with a great, with a great round. And I think probably baseball is that same way. Now we as Twins fans are expecting a lot more. I put them at a high number. I wish I'd taken it back, Todd, for how many wins. But then they go on the win streak. I'm like, hey, I'm back.
Yeah,
I'm in play.
What was your number again?
I think it was 92.
Ooh, that's right. That was high.
It was crazy high, right?
Yeah. I think I was at 84, which is just over 500.
Barely over the Mason-Dixon line.
Yeah, which is about where
I
thought they'd
way
be.
Way over, because you had to eloquently tell me that's 20 games over 500, not 10 you think it is, Greg.
That's right.
Right?
That's
right. Yeah. Right, because see is the Mason-Dixon line 81, half the season.
Yeah.
So 92, but no, that's 20 wins more than lost.
I'm hoping you're right.
A lot of people are.
I suspect you're not. But
yeah, it's fair. Yeah. You wouldn't take money on the over.
We aren't off by much anyway, 84 versus 92. Although 92 wins the division, 84 does not. I thought it might. I thought 85 wins, because the Twins won, 86 games last year, 87, and won the division.
Yeah, Central looks better this year.
But the division is better, no doubt. How about Ryan Jeffers? He's leading all of Major League Baseball catchers in OPS going back to the start of last year. So last year in the first 6 weeks of this year, best hitting catcher in baseball.
Yeah.
He's really improved. So just a personal note on that, I got him for $1, which is the minimum bid at our auction in 23, because I had seen an interview with him talking about how he had a little health issue the year before. He was excited and ready to go. I knew he was the backup to Christian Vasquez to begin the year. I thought that he would get more at-bats. He didn't. I dropped him. The very next week, he becomes the starting catcher. And since then, so I don't have him. Yeah. Could have had him for a buck.
I thought it was going to be a good story.
Not a good story.
It was a terrible story.
It was a bad story.
So what's the max amount of games a number one catcher will play in today's baseball? Is it 100?
Maybe 100. Yeah, that's about the number.
They just aren't. Was it Brian Harper that used to play 150 because he would DH every?
That's something different. Jeffers is going to be around that number this year.
Okay, so he'll DH that much, you think?
Yes, I think he will. He's the best hitter on the Twins so far this year, regardless of position. So.
And again, I think if you pull the DH and put him at catcher, then you lose your DH spot and the pitcher has to bat the rest of the game, and then they just pinch hit
hopefully
for each
pitcher. Doesn't come into it.
No, but that's
I
the
think
only
that's
danger.
What happens.
That's the only danger, I think, of DHing your two guys.
I think
is
that's...
there a third catcher, Todd, that's
not
on
with
the
Twins.
Roster?
Not with the Twins.
Is there
some do carry him.
Is there, because we used to, I think, at times, who would be the third emergency catcher? Have you heard?
I have not. I don't know who that would be, actually.
That's kind of an interesting one, right? To think about that, you know, we always talk about this with the quarterback of, Jaren Hall goes down.
Yeah.
Is it Justin Jefferson?
Yeah, who's next?
Was it the tight end I think they were talking about? I think every team has somebody.
Yeah.
But it's funny how even if a kicker goes down, you'll see a lot of times they just go for two.
Yeah.
They don't have the punter go out there and try kicks or
can't
maybe
do that
a wide receiver.
In baseball, really,
No, I find it interesting that in these sports with position, the position is the position.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, obviously you can change infielders a little bit or outfielders, but catcher,
I know it's tough.
It's so weird.
Yeah, it is. So I'm not sure that's a good question. I'm gonna have to look that up and find out now. Greg, thanks so much always for coming in.
Have a great day, brother.
You bet. Greg Snow joining us here on the Todd and Friends podcast. It's brought to you by Granite Bank in Spicer and Cold Spring. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
Watch for future episodes of the Todd and Friends podcast at KWLM.com or on the air here at KWLM 1340 AM and 96.3 FM.